Podcast.
Are we saying podcast?
Welcome back, everybody, and we are back. Dang it, I screwed that up. So easy. I got confused on what exactly. What are we doing?
We are doing a podcast, yes, and we are talking...
Two fanboys and a filthy cat. Hey, yeah. This is why Dennis does the normal... But it's the end of the year. We're trying to get through another year, I guess.
He's going to play it fast and loose.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to do anything. I'm just going to sit back here. Relax.
So, it's been a week... since we've had our last podcast, and we haven't done a movie review in a while, so it's generally been, you know, one of our biggest things is we like to go watch movies. Most of the time, we like watching movies together, and then we know we come back and we give you guys, our audience, some time.
You say we give you guys?
We give you the whole Kui we thing.
Kui
watching the Skrull and Kree thing from the trailer for. Captain Marvel really screwed me up because I kept on saying the squalls and the queens. I really have no idea why. But yeah, we haven't done a movie review in a few months since Venom was our last movie.
Yeah,
review.
That was the last one.
But like we usually tend to do is we give you guys time to you know, see the movie yourselves, and if you haven't seen the movie, as we usually do, we're gonna give a spoiler alert. But the movie that we're doing. First is...
Creed.
Okay. Sorry, dude.
Can you take me higher?
Yes, definitely. Creed. Scott Stapp is an underrated man.
And the fact that he become poor or something?
And he's so... He tried to... I don't want to talk about it. It's kind of sad.
Okay, never mind. Okay. So, yeah. So, today we're going to be talking about Creed 2, but before we... dive into that. Lewis is, you know, usually the one that does retro reviews and everything. And as Lewis pointed out last time, it's kind of his shtick now.
Yeah,
you know that's he likes.
It's a solid shtick, you know. It's a sticky shtick.
I mean, so, it's a small part of the show.
Yeah. It's a really small shtick.
I just want to feel like I'm part of the thing. You know.
So go ahead, Lewis, with your small shtick.
It's a small shtick, but you know it's very valuable. Apparently,
it does its job.
It does a thing. So, before we go into the review of Creed 2, like Dennis mentioned, I want to ask you guys, let's do a quick dive into the first Creed movie, which came out 3-4 years ago now. I think that's if I'm not mistaken. Creed was initially a kind of a passion project, or it kind of came out of nowhere, if I'm not mistaken, a great project that was created with Michael B. Jordan and Black Panther director,
Coogler.
Yes, thank you, Ryan Coogler. It was a great little movie that came out. It surprised a lot of people because I was part of the guilty party back then who said, oh, this is another cash in for, you know, Sylvester Stallone after all of the failed Expendable movies and him trying
to cash.
Excuse me. Did you really call the Expendable movies failed?
Have you ever watched?
I have seen them. You know, I think this is. I don't want to dive into a different thing, but okay, I think you're right. I think we're going to disagree on this one because I thought they were okay. They could have been a lot better. But we're talking about Creed, guys. Talking about Creed for now. We'll do a deep dive into the Expendable series.
You had Jesus Tatum or whatever his name is.
Who?
I thought he said Jesus Tatum.
No, he said Jesus Tatum, and I was like, no. Channing Tatum's new nickname is Jesus? I mean, he's got Jesus' ass.
Jenna Dwayne?
Dwayne Wade? Wow. Off to a hot start, guys. So let's talk about the first Creed movie, because obviously this podcast is only a year and a half old. We haven't had a chance to talk about the first Creed movie and what we thought about, what we liked about it. If it still holds up, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to watch it recently. I think it was actually on a lot of the cable channels recently in preparation for the new Creed movie that came out just this last Thanksgiving. So let's go back a couple years back. What did you guys think of the first Creed movie starring Michael B. Jordan and Sylvester Stallone?
I remember watching it, and you know, we've talked about this. We are huge Rocky fans.
Yes.
Hell, we even did a, you know, a whole retro review of the whole thing. And I remember I was one of those people where when I heard about it, it's like, my God, is DC in charge of this? You know, is it another one of those things? It's going to be the darker version of it. And that's not what I meant, Lewis, because Lewis is now all of a sudden laughing.
I almost did a spit take with my water. Excuse me.
I do not mean that in the racial term. But, you know, I remember when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, it's a lot grittier than I remember. You know, the storyline, you know, especially considering it's, you know, it kind of talks about the fact that it's the son of Apollo Creed, and, you know, it's not really, he hasn't really had that much of a successful life. So it's like, man, you know, but then as I watched it, I was trying to prepare myself. I was like, please God, don't, you know, I still want there to be a Rocky feel to it. Like, there has to be that, you know, striving for greatness, striving for some sort of victory. And I was sitting there, and the very first fight, you know, the very first fight happened. I remember I was sitting there. I'm almost positive I watched with you guys. At least
you. Harold, yeah. Guest from one of our previous episodes.
Okay. I remember watching it, and I at the end of that fight, I looked at Harold and whoever else I was looking at and going, did that just happen? And I was so amped about it. I was so excited about it that I think that once that first fight happened, I was hooked. I don't think the story, I'm not going to say that it wasn't any good, but again, it was a more emotional, a darker turn and movie than what I was expecting. But then, you know, looking back, it really was something, it was a Rocky-esque type thing. It was somebody, you know, trying to build himself up and finding a way to succeed. And today, I think it was one of my more favorite Rocky films. I still, you know, maybe I'm a purist, and I like the fact that Rocky Balboa always gets the crap beaten out of him. But it was a great addition to the series, I thought.
Yeah, I think you're right in the sense that Creed, the first movie, it kind of checked off a lot of boxes that the old Rocky series had. Like, you know, Adonis, for all of his good looks and great physique, he was still an underdog. In many senses of the way, like, he came from an impoverished background. You know, he was raised through the foster care system, if I'm not mistaken, until his, you know, Apollo Creed's widower took him in. So a lot of the underdog story, a lot of the undertones from the early series, you can really tell from Creed. I think one of the other things that really surprised me when I saw it is that, you know, not to make light of Apollo Creed's death in Rocky IV, but if you know, we talked about it when we did the Rocky podcast, is that Rocky IV became our Rocky because it was like peak 80s cheese and kind of like schlocky 80s montage and stuff like that. Like, yeah, you know, it's sad that Apollo died, but it fed into Rocky's character, and it fed the montage, and it said, you know,
it was the Russians versus the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like he killed the Cold War.
Yeah, he killed an American. It's like, how dare he? So it kind of became a gimmick, but I got to really give it to Coogler and Jordan, who basically made, you know, basically what felt like a one-off kind of, you know, decision to kill off Apollo into a legitimately strong storyline. In redemption, in you know, finding oneself, and just a great it laid a great groundwork for a pretty good character study for both Adonis Creed's character and for Sylvester Stallone. So, you know, it looked back at the friendship of Adonis and Apollo. I'm sorry, Apollo and Sylvester Stallone and their rivalry, and it was just really great fodder for fans like, you know, us who grew up on the Rocky franchise.
Yeah, for me, I just remember before the movie came out, seeing the trailers. Actually, not seeing the trailers, but hearing the stories that they were going to do a possible sequel to the Rocky series, going with the angle of Apollo Creed's son. I remember the first time I read that, I was like, that is a genius take, because I don't think, you know, I never thought that story was, like, possible. Not possible, but I didn't think that story was ever going to be created, I guess. And it's like that different angle where it's like, yes, it's going to be a Rocky story. It's going to be similar to a Rocky story. But for once, the fighter's not Rocky. I mean, we've had that before where the fighter wasn't Rocky and it was Tommy Gunn. And the
terrible.
Yeah. Crap, I think that has been retconned out, right?
Yeah. what movie are you talking about?
I have no idea. But it was, it's funny.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Tommy
Gunn.
That was just this guy.
So what are the weapons that he used?
He was in Best of the Best, I think.
Yeah.
But it's like...
Come in!
Yeah, Gunn. But, I specifically, when that came out, I was discussing it with Dennis and Mooney at the time. And I was like, there's a Rocky movie coming out, but it's coming from the angle of, you know, Apollo's son. And I was like, I know you two love the Rocky movies. And I was like, well, I know for sure we tried to get you to go, but, you know,
yeah, Lewis things.
But
Lewis.
Yeah. Lewis. You're stealing my own joke, man. Just kidding. But, like, that first time we watched it, and like Dennis said, the thing that stuck out to me more than anything else at first was in Rocky Balboa, the main antagonist, or villain, you know, really, but the main antagonist was a professional boxer, Antonio Tarver. This Creed movie, the two main characters that he ends up fighting, first when he loses to the guy's stuntman, Danny Wheeler, that guy was Andre Ward, who is pound for pound the best boxer in the world until he retired. And then the guy he ends up fighting in the end, it was a British champion.
Right.
Just fought for a title like a couple weeks ago. But it's like, that's the kind of dedication they went with in this movie is what really, really got to me. And that, like Dennis said, those first fight scenes where they weren't the regular Rocky scenes we're used to, where it was like punch, 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 punch.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah on my face. And then all of a sudden I'm going to do like some kind of comeback.
Because, yeah, slow-mo. I was like, oh.
Yeah. This one was like an actual ebb and flow boxing fight where it's like, yeah, there. It seems like, you know, no one's ahead or no one's taking advantage at the time, and it's not, now it's your turn, now it's my turn. It's real boxing. And then I don't know if you guys ever seen the, you know, the backstage video where Michael B. Jordan actually got knocked out, because that's how hard he trained for this. And then
wow,
the dedication that everybody in that shoot put into that movie, and then you have the whole thing, you know, wrapped in a bundle with the Rocky story. And then having Rocky come back and be the new Mickey, which was like the best take that they ever could have made for that character.
That's true.
It's
yeah.
Like they, like I said, they did it in that movie that I guess we can say never,
never really
never
happened.
Acknowledged.
Yeah.
But for the first time, it was like he's an actual trainer, and it's like these are the things that got me to the top. Let's do something similar. And then they had that montage, and then for some reason there was like quads and like dirt bike and Michael B. Jordan in the middle
Meek
like
Mill.
Yo, Onk, what up, Onk? I literally just watched it last week.
I was gonna say,
hey, this is a good movie.
So were there, it sounds like we're all big fans of the first Creed. Was there anything that you didn't like about the first movie, anything that you thought that could have improved on? Because I'll go off, I know Harold was mentioning how great it was that they actually had legit boxers in the movie. I guess my only biggest issue with the first Creed movie was the fact that there was no huge antagonist. In this new movie, obviously, you know from the advertisements and, you know, spoilers in a few moments when you go into the movie, but, you know, Drago is the big antagonist in this new movie. In the first movie, there wasn't a clear-cut, like, he's gonna fight this guy. Like, even in the first Rocky, I mean, obviously I wasn't around when the first Rocky came out, but, you know, part of me feels like a lot of the advertising was like, he's going to fight this heavyweight champion, Apollo Creed. And for this, we're in the first Creed, it's like, oh, there's no big antagonist. But, I mean, it makes up for it because, like Dennis already mentioned, a lot of the story, a lot of the weight of the first Creed movie was, you know, it was a search for self. It was a fight for Adonis himself to find his identity. But, so if anything, that was my one big concern is that, you know, there wasn't a great opponent. Like in the classic, you know, your Clubber Langs, there's no Ivan Dragos, there's no Apollo Creed that we can talk about.
Yeah.
So that's my thing.
I don't know if it's even a weakness, but the fights itself, there were multiple fights, and each fight was well choreographed,
yeah.
Well scripted. But again, I talk about that very first one, and after watching it, after realizing how it almost, you know, it was almost a one-shot deal. It was so amazing to me that the other fights
oh,
didn't live up to the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was still good, But, you know, at the end of the whole thing, again, I'm just repeating myself over again. Even at the end of that movie, the only thing that was in my mind was just how amazing that first one was.
That first one where it was the non-cut one, right? Yeah. Like, it was like a solid minute or two of, Yeah, that was amazing. But yeah, you're right. It's kind of set a high bar for the rest of the fact. Like,
it was still good. It was still good action and everything, but it just didn't reach the same height.
Right, gotcha.
This is going to be petty, but the only thing that really bothered me, but it's because, you know, I'm kind of nerdy like this, is Tessa Thompson, who plays Bianca.
Oh, yes.
The very first movie I'd ever seen her in was Creed. And
oh, yeah, because this is before she was in Thor Ragnarok and Westworld.
Yeah. But when I first saw her, I was like, she looks just like Lisa Bonet.
Oh, okay.
The Cosby Show. And Creed's Adonis' mom was played by Felicia Rashad, who is, of course, Claire Huxtable.
Yes.
And like, the whole time I was watching it, I was like, this is messing me up, man. why are you going out with her daughter, bro? This is weird. So that's how my mind works, if you guys didn't know that.
That's a solid tangent, man.
Wow. The whole time I was watching it, I was like, yeah,
but that's not something wrong with the movie.
Nothing wrong with me. Well, I'm kind of, and if, yeah, we go into things, I'm a little bit with Lou, and then the whole, yes, there is really no bad guy. It's just an opponent he has at the very end. And, you know, I thought it's great, again, that the, apparently in the first movie, everybody loses. So,
I guess that's a trend. Yeah. So.
And then, you know, Rocky Balboa, Rocky lost, so it's a great way to continue that storyline.
Right. Real quick, I guess my last question for you guys, for the first Creed movie, any favorite scenes or moments from that movie that still stand out for you 3 years, 4 years after the movie came out?
Seems small, but Harold kind of mentioned it. Seeing Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, yeah.
And not in, you know, it's a continuation, especially after Rocky Balboa. I talk about how much I love that movie. But realizing that the Rocky story was not over yet, that it's still a continuation. And as you pointed out, he has a different role now. He's not going to be fighting. He's not going to be doing anything. But now he's the mentor that's willing to pass on. And the fact that he recognizes, there was a scene where he recognizes and it talks about him being what's Creed?
Apollo.
Apollo's his son. And that's one of the reasons why he's doing it. I thought just that that comparison there, that connection there, made that scene special for me.
I think I know this is, like Dennis, is a really small thing, is I was pretty sad when, like, he went to the cemetery, because, like, in Rocky Balboa, he was at the cemetery. That part wasn't that bad. The fact that when they pan over and it has Polly's name on the tombstone...
Oh, that got you?
That got me, because it's like, Polly, like... Dennis' impersonation of Polly. It's like... It's like,
I think I was just clearing my throat when I did the impersonation.
Because if you remember Rocky Balboa, like, Polly is a complete mess in all of Rocky Balboa, but he has that one great moment where Rocky asks, you know, what's my entrance song going to be? And Polly goes, I picked the song for you because it's Sinatra, you're Italian, and he picked High Hopes. And every time I hear that song, I have a big smile on my face because I see Rocky and I see Polly coming down. It's like such a fun moment, and that's literally the last time you see Burt Young playing the Polly character, because right, we come to Creed and it's like my mind right away is like the last time we saw Polly, he was working in the restaurant. We come back to the restaurant in Creed,
it's just Sylvester Stallone,
just him by himself. So
yeah,
the little things.
Yeah, for me, I guess my favorite moment is a bit of a tearjerker for personal reasons. It has to be the last great little exchange that Sylvester Stallone has with Adonis while he is in the late rounds of the fight. And Sylvester Stallone, or Rocky, asks Adonis, why are you still fighting? And Adonis looks him in the eye, like one eye is practically shut, his face is swollen, and he says, I just want to know that I wasn't a mistake. And that just killed me. And like, Dennis was there earlier, but when we were prepping for this episode, I said the line out loud. My wife heard it, and she just started crying
for 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes, Because she was like, oh my god, I love that scene.
And at first I thought it was a joke. But then literally she kept on dabbing her head just because it was just like dripping, dude. I was like, oh.
Because yeah. It was such a great like direction. How it was directed was so well done, and how Jordan said the line, and it kind of like in the sense of the movie it recontextualized the whole thing, because the whole time we know that Creed is angry, he's always picking fights, he's going out of his way to like, he's going to Mexico to get fights, or you know, he's going to these random gyms and picking fights with dudes, and in that just one moment you see, oh, dude has anger issues because he wants basically like to redeem himself or to like to know himself. So and it like made a lot of sense. Like, okay, I can see how somebody could be grown, could grow up so angry, not knowing his father, and having that question. You know, was not a mistake, or am I a mistake?
Looming over his head. It was only through that exchange, only being able to be in that situation, that he was actually able to express it.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I think.
And in a way, that is what it pushes him forward.
Yeah, and then best part is that that's actually when they cue the original Rocky music, yeah. And then the whole thing is like, oh, here we go. Like, so it's like it was hype, but so that was one of my favorite moments of that movie.
And you know, interesting that you point that out, and you mentioned the idea that every first Rocky movie, you know, the first one, there has to be a loss.
Yeah.
Without that one exchange, that loss would have been meaningless.
Right. Yeah. You know, yeah.
That would have been a disappointment. But the fact that he recognizes it and says it out loud to the audience. And
yes.
He's able to express it. That one was like, okay, you're good in my book.
Yeah, yeah. This is a worthwhile addition to the lore.
And that montage was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
His training montage in Creed 1 is pretty dope.
He's solid, yeah. Well, yeah, I dig it. So, okay, so we really like the first Creed movie. So let's segue right into the newest iteration, the latest addition to the Rocky series, to the Creed series, I apologize. Creed 2. So it just came out this last Thanksgiving. It's been a couple weeks. But what do we call this special spoiler alert? The Terry Rule. Terry Rule. There are spoilers ahoy. So please, if you haven't seen the movie, go see it.
Spoilers ahoy?
Yes. Yeah. We're pirates now.
You're a pirate now.
I've always been one.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What the hell?
Sorry.
So I think that's enough time between.
I don't even know do I bleep that out?
Yeah.
Leave it in for Apple to figure out.
If you bleep that, it's hilarious because people would be like, "What kind of?" I know what he said right before that.
What kind of pirate could it be?
Caribbean?
Exactly.
Southeast Asian?
Somali? I said Dennis is a Somali pirate, guys, really, for the record.
Thank you. Thank you for clarifying that.
Now he's the captain.
The captain now. Alright, so as is my special powers, let me do a quick plot recap of Creed 2. So
he's getting better at this.
Yeah. Slowly. It's way more convenient that he just saw the movie.
Yeah,
exactly. It's me and Dennis who watched it on opening night, and we're just like, all right. Now we gotta wait till Lewis watches it.
My bad, guys.
It's okay.
But so here we are. I finally saw the movie, so it's fresh in my head. So if you haven't seen the advertisements, the second Creed is basically Adonis versus Victor Drago, who is legendarily the son of legendary Ivan Drago, who, if you haven't seen a 30-year-old movie, in Rocky IV killed Apollo Creed. So the movie actually begins with Adonis winning the championship we'll go into a deeper dive later, but to me it was like, oh, wow, a fight right off the bat. That's great. And, you know, it's actually starring Andre Ward as his character from the first movie. He was a champion. So nice little bit of continuity. He wins the championship. A sketchy fight promoter approaches Adonis and Rocky, telling them, hey, you know, congratulations on the championship. I got somebody here waiting in the wings to fight you. And lo and behold, like I mentioned, it is Victor Drago, a 6'6" man cut out of marble. I mean, dude is ridiculous. He was basically like Dolph Lundgren at his peak, but even bigger, if that's possible.
Dolph would have lost.
Yeah, Victor. Exactly. He was like a toothpick compared to how big Victor was, which is ridiculous. So we're introduced to them right off the bat. We are the movie shows a couple of great clips from the Rocky IV movie to kind of, if you haven't seen it. Actually, for me personally, it was a great exercise to go with my old eyes. I went with my son, who's kind of passingly seen Rocky IV, but the movie did a great job of basically recapping. Ivan killed Adonis. I'm sorry. Ivan killed Apollo. Rocky revenged it. And now fast forward 30 years later, now the sons want to duke it out. Then the second fight of the whole movie, Victor gets disqualified by brutalizing Adonis Creed in the ring. Adonis came into a fight thinking he could, you know, walk away with a victor as a victor and, you know, get his revenge on the Dragos. But he got whooped, you know, like scarily whooped to the point where, yeah, he was, you know, people in the theater or thought that it was going to be Apollo all over again. Fast forward to another great, you know, character study of him trying to redeem himself and try to pick himself up. And a pretty solid montage. We'll talk about the month in the scheme of montages, how this training montage went. And they have another fight. The final fight of the match, of the movie, is Victor versus Apollo, round two. And Adonis. I'll get these names right eventually. Sorry, guys. In the end of the last match, Adonis comes out the winner. And we'll talk about how he won later. And there you go. So that's the plot. Hopefully you caught that. If not, go see the movie. Highly recommended. So, off the bat, like the other movie reviews you've done, did we like it? Quick thoughts?
It hurts. It hurts to say this, but I did not like it as much as I thought I would.
Okay.
Now, when I left, I looked at the Herald, and I was like, yeah, that was a great addition. You know, adrenaline was pumping. You know, the scenes, the action scenes were great. There were really great moments within it where I was like, okay, just kind of like what we talked about with Creed, where there were certain moments there that it should have been, that needed to be there. And there were moments there, and we'll kind of dive deep into it. But after a while, thinking about it, there were so many things that I was not really that happy with. And not necessarily the action, but I think just storylines,
okay,
and beats like that. Harold?
I like Dennis said, it's a great addition to the Rocky and Creed lore. Not on the level of Creed 1. Obviously, it's kind of hard because Creed 1 is just, you know, was like on a whole new level in terms of just, not just Creed and Rocky movies, but boxing movies in general and sports movies. But I did enjoy it, and I enjoyed it for what I really thought it was going to be, which was not a sequel to Creed, but a sequel to Rocky IV. And I was just like, if this is the angle that they're going with the mentors and their students fighting against each other, I can go along with that. Everything else, like Dennis said, storyline-wise, not the strongest story, but the character of Donis has already been established as a, you know, like you said, an abandoned child who has like daddy issues, and that's really the build up to what he's come to in this movie. And the irony, of course, being that he's now going to be a father, or he turns eventually becomes a father towards the end of the movie. And it's like that storyline seemed as secondary as Adrian being pregnant in Rocky 2, where I was like, hey, baby, doesn't matter. Time to fight.
Yeah, fight time.
I was like, oh.
Yeah, who was watching the baby in the last fight? They went all the way to Russia because grandma
was there.
Yeah, you know.
Mom was there. Adonis was there. Where's the baby? Not with grandpa. Sorry.
Nikki?
Nope.
Oh.
Polly? So, you know what? I think that's part of what kind of hindered this movie too, is kind of like, I think you're right. I think a lot of the fandom was so hyped because with the success of the first Creed movie, people were hyped to say, well, of course the sequel has to have Drago. So I think part of me feels that maybe the producers, I think Sylvester Stallone is actually one of them, probably felt hindered to the point of like, you know what, we got to give the fans what they want because Otherwise, if we give them anything else, they're going to be still crying bloody murder. Where's Drago? Give us a Drago rematch. You know, give us some kind of closure to that, to that, to that story. So part of me feels that that's probably why, you know, the movie, like you guys, I kind of feel the same. It's a great addition to the story, but it's not as, like, groundbreaking or as, like, I needed to see this as but the first Creed.
Admittedly, though, the Drago characters, both Victor and Ivan, were the best part of that movie for me.
Agreed.
Because surprisingly, for yeah. once, besides, and even with like Apollo Creed, we got a backstory for a villain.
Yeah.
There was never a backstory for a villain. It was like, hey,
actually,
he's Russian.
Yeah, right, in Rocky IV, it's just like
Cobra Lang, he's the number one contender.
Yeah.
I mean, at the same time, yeah, it doesn't make sense that a kid out of nowhere, like a pretty much an amateur, gets a, you know, like an auto title shot.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Drago himself, like when he first had that moment with Rocky, I was like, besides the fact that they, you know, they both shared the screen in Expendables, they shared the screen in Expendables as Dolph Lundgren and Silva, or whatever their characters
yeah.
were in Expendables. But for, you know, for once, we have a scene with Rocky and Drago where they're actually talking to each other. They didn't say anything to each other.
No.
Basically, in all of Rocky IV.
Yeah.
You know, I must break you.
Yeah, they were just like spitting out the
but it's like,
catchphrases.
I mean, that the whole thing with seeing Drago being that fallen hero, where it's like, you know, his whole life has been led to training his son because he doesn't want his son to be a failure like he believes that he was, even though, you know, his whole country just turned their back on him at the end of that film. But this one, it's like the continuation of that, where you have everybody dismissing Drago for
yeah.
everything that he did. And even when his wife comes around and she's like, yeah, I'm coming here because my son is, like, pretty successful, but yes, I did leave you because you lost that fight. And it's like, yeah, it's kind of the Ivan Drago redemption storyline at the same time. And then at the same time, it's kind of, like, sad that the focus was more on Ivan than it was on Victor. Because Victor was a beast.
Yeah.
But we never really got to see, I mean, and I guess that's how it's kind of the thing that they do with Rocky movies, like I said, it's like maybe his backstory doesn't need to be as strong as his trainer's.
Well, one of the things, and kind of jumping, I guess we're kind of being a little bit more specific. Well, one of the things I didn't necessarily like was that it really kind of cut his character progression. I mean, I'm talking about Adonis. For me, it seemed like the fact that kind of like what Lewis was talking about, the fact that you needed to put in Victor, the whole Drago concept there, it was relying too heavily on the past.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we already had the first one was the first one already had that. You had Sylvester Stallone as Rocky, and you have the same rise, you have the same defeat. And for me, you know, after I got over the hype of watching the movie, I was thinking to myself, this is almost a second part of the story of the first movie.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't need to be a separate movie. I was actually looking forward. I was actually looking more forward to what now.
Yeah.
Without Rocky, you've already achieved what you wanted to do. What now? And for me, it just that thing just bugged me over and over and over again. That because of the necessity of it, as Lewis pointed out, it kind of robbed me of Adonis and his character growth.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you were able to kind of, you know, get past some daddy issues, but did you really? You know, did you really achieve anything? Did you actually do anything to help honor your father, anything like that?
Yeah.
There was really nothing. He won. Yes, he was able to succeed again, beating somebody. But in the end, he's still in the same situation, still the same position as he was after Creed. He has a title now.
I remember specifically when we were watching the movie and they had that title fight maybe 25 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
The first thing Dennis said right to me was like, already?
Yeah.
And in my head, like, I didn't want to say anything because, you know, I automatically knew. I was like, either he's losing right now, like Rocky III.
Yeah.
Or something's going to happen. And as soon as I saw his knee touch and he punched him, I was like, oh, the reason he's going to still be the champion is and still be like, or still hold on to the title is because Drago just got disqualified. And it's like one of those weird things. It's like, you know, as a boxing fan, you kind of appreciate because that's kind of like how that happens to like some undefeatable prospects sometimes. It's like it takes a mistake for them to lose. And then do they really learn from it? And it's like, yeah, he still stayed the same style of fighting, but if it was successful in the first fight, it should have been in the second fight. And then,
yeah, that's actually a funny point you brought up, because like I mentioned, I brought my 10-year-old with me, and when that first fight with Victor came up, he's like, oh, the movie's almost over. He's like, I don't think so, buddy.
Like, we didn't see a montage.
He's like, I paid for a 2-hour movie, we're only in an hour in. I think one of my only other concerns too would be, like, it seemed a bit melodramatic to me in some parts. I'm not sure if it was just the difference in directors. Coogler, for the record, did not do this movie. It was a new director. Unfortunately, I don't remember his name right now. But
Steve Urkel.
Really?
No.
I hate you so much. Like, wow, big things. Good for him. But wow, good pull. I was trying to drag my hands. Like, what's the name again? So you know, some of the parts kind of felt dragging. Like a lot of the parts, I felt like the movie could have probably cut 15 minutes. To be perfectly honest, like there were some parts where they were focusing on the sketchy fight promoter, and it kind of went nowhere. Like I thought they were gonna like duke it out, or you know there were gonna be some kind of redemption where he says, you know, apologizes to Rocky and Adonis for, you know, for taking advantage of their name and their family hostility, but nothing. Like, oh, okay, I could have probably cut that stuff, but otherwise I really liked it. You know what I just realized too though. It's kind of parallel to the way that Harold mentioned how they fleshed out the Drago family. It felt a lot like the Cobra Kai series,
mm-hmm.
in a sense where, like, yeah, these 80s throwback bad guys who had, like, 5 minutes or 2 minutes of character exposition got a lot of dedicated time to it. Personally, I was, like, really surprised to see Brigitte Nielsen make a cameo, and I was like, oh, okay, that's the plot line. And, like, kind of in the first movie, how, you know, Rocky found words to help hype Adonis, it killed me, because this is before Brigitte came back into the scene, where Ivan tells his son in Russian, or whatever language they were speaking, you know, pointing to Adonis, he is why she left us. And then Victor comes out the corner, guns blazing, and like practically breaks Michael B's face off. And I was like, that's nuts. Like, that's like a heck of a motivation to say that, yeah, your mother doesn't love you because of that guy. So I was like, yeah.
You know what's funny is I remember, as much as possible, you know, I hate spoilers. And I was trying to avoid any kind of spoiler that came up on the internet. And for some reason, I hate this account so much, but on Vulture, they put, how they got that cameo in Creed 2. And I was like, who's the cameo that they're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
And I really thought it was the Brigitte Nielsen cameo.
Uh-huh.
That one was okay. I thought the cameo at the very end was
much better. Yeah.
The old
yeah.
Milo Ventimiglia
cameo. Yeah, okay,
Dennis,
yeah.
Even Dennis was like, they got him to come back. I was like, he's on the biggest show on TV.
Yeah.
And it's like,
he's here for a 2-minute cameo.
But I was like, because he's going to visit his
heroes?
Yeah. 2009?
Because I was just like, wow, like, I mean, that is, you know, Rocky's story was pretty basic too. They didn't really need to flesh out the Rocky character for this one, even though it might be the last time we see Rocky on film or anything.
And we'll talk more about that later, yeah.
But it's like, you know, it was just a nice way of having him have that closure where it's like, we haven't seen much about, you know, Rocky's family since Rocky Balboa.
It's always makes, especially throughout the whole thing, one of the things that I was kind of, I told Harold was that, you know, thank God he was there, was because throughout the whole thing, I was like, man, his son is just a jerk. You know?
Is he still doing the corporate gig? Or is he busy for his dad?
I thought they fixed everything already. Yeah. What the hell?
He's in his corner, man. What happened?
We had a movie about this.
The whole plot of Rocky Balboa was us. And then you destroyed it in one movie.
Again, a couple more things. Again, I hate to harp on the idea of lost character development. Did Rocky learn anything from this whole thing?
He learned how to take a cab to his son's house.
Yeah,
He forgot how to use a phone.
That's the only thing that you had. But the one character that had the biggest character development moment was the bad guy.
Yeah, was Ivan Drago.
Ivan Drago. Yeah. Like, one of the things that Harold and I were talking about going out was that, you know, the fact that Ivan Drago did what he did. And for those people who haven't watched it yet, please, you know, watch it.
Yeah, let's go right into it. Yeah,
it's really, 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 it's a great part. But, you know, at a certain point, I can't even, I'm like emotional. I'm kind of verklempt right now.
You're so verklempt.
Harold, go for it. Sorry.
Well, basically, Adonis is losing the fight. And the only way for him to win is to get a knockout. And they keep saying it. They keep harping on it. It's like, you have to knock
him out.
You're behind on points. You cannot
score
the judges. Because as we all know, if you haven't ever watched a fight before, if you're the hometown guy, you're pretty much going to win when it goes to the decision. But like I was telling Dennis, is the biggest part of that whole thing is that Ivan Drago was able to do what Rocky couldn't do. And when he saw his son in trouble and he was in destitute, he had the nerve and he had the gall to take that towel and throw it in for his son because he couldn't do it himself. Like Apollo, yeah, Apollo waved off Rocky, but Rocky could have thrown in the towel for him to save his friend. But Ivan, being the father that he was, knowing that every single moment that he'd achieved with his son was to get to this moment,
right?
And he's about to lose it all, and not just the match, but maybe potentially his life and career. It's like, I'm gonna be the father, and I know that this needs to be done.
Okay.
And it was like
exactly
so good.
That was like the slow walk. Yeah. I was like, he's throwing in the towel. It's very blatant. You know it's exactly what's gonna happen. But if you've ever seen any Rocky movie before that, and if you've ever seen any fighting movie before that, just the fact that the Drago character walks slowly and you don't see what he's doing, but you know what he's gonna do.
Yeah.
It wells up in you, and then when you see him throw it in, it's like, oh my god.
Yeah.
I mean, right now I'm still feeling it. I'm telling you.
So I didn't say this to Dennis, but that ending was almost as good as the ending of Rocky II for me, where it's like, I got those emotions, where it's like, this is gonna happen, and it's like, and you don't think it's gonna happen, you think he's gonna be like, you know, maybe like Rocky and just hold it for just a little bit until he gets knocked out or something, but no, he's like, he owns up to it, and he's like, okay, I don't want to see anything worse happen to my son, and I have to take care of him, and he throws it, and it's just like, damn.
And the fact that Adonis, I mean, he's a professional boxer, right?
Yeah.
The fact that not Adonis, sorry.
Victor. Yes.
I'm almost like you now. Just that exchange, that look between the father and the son, you know, there was that emotional exchange, and when it was about to happen, I was sitting there, and I still remember that when I realized what was going to happen, I kind of like, I just kind of like went forward, and just like, oh my god, is this what I think it's going to be? And when it happened, I was like, oh my, it was such a release of pent-up energy. but again, it's like, it's so confusing that here you're able to focus on this relationship, but there were so many other things that you built up that didn't go anywhere. I get that his wife had the whole hearing problem, but was it really necessary to have that drama? I mean, who knows? Maybe I'm totally missing the point. Maybe it's something where somebody can point me out that, you know, that the fact, the stability angle of it was actually really important to the storyline. But if you took that out, it would still be him worried about his daughter.
Right.
It would still be him worried about losing his wife. If that was not necessary. And there was one part where I was kind of confused because they were holding the baby and there was like a huge noise and she started crying. And I was like, wait, does this mean that she can hear? I'm confused here, you know, and but they didn't say anything.
Yeah.
You know, there was, it was like equilibrium, not equilibrium, it was like that thing with the top, I forget already, the
Inception?
Inception, like, what does it mean? And then they completely forget it. Like you said, the baby was not there.
This is how...
baby was not there.
Of course, this is how my mind works, is as soon as the baby was having the problem with the hearing, I was like, you know what movie makes Dennis cry? Mr. Holland's Opus. Like that one scene where like, they looked at her right away. I was like,
Does this do anything for you?
Any flashbacks?
Actually, no. It's I'm more sad because I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be old and I'm not gonna have anything to do once I retire.
Well, now it's more relevant. The teacher side.
Oh man. Anything else that you can think of?
I guess let's talk about what Harold kind of a little bit hinted at earlier. But allegedly or supposedly, this is Sylvester Stallone's last foray into the Rocky franchise, according to a lot of the websites. You know, and in the movie, like it's been mentioned, it wraps it up with his story with his family, where he makes up with his son. Which with Adrian gone, with Polly gone, with his
Polly gone,
and hexagon,
and
dodecahedron.
Is that one of the monsters in the dodecahedron?
Yes. You know, he...
That's a Pokemon, right?
You gotta catch
that's
him
an evolution.
That's a rare, exactly. So, you know, Rocky's storyline more or less wraps up pretty in a nice bow, in a sense, like, you know, short of, you know, unfortunately him and his character dying or whatnot, this seemed like a really nice epilogue for him. So what do you guys think about the fact that, hypothetically, if they were to make more Creed movies, which, to be honest, I think they should, just because Michael B. is such a great actor... you know, what's your thoughts about Rocky or Sylvester Stallone retiring Rocky?
I hate to say it, but if they want Creed to succeed, it's necessary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They
need to separate from the Rocky.
Or else it's going to be just another rehash. It's going to be, okay, now we need to bring Clubber Lang.
Clubber Langston. Clubber Lang.
Clubber Langston.
Or just... Langston? Or just actually bring back...
He's a new Filipino. Clubber Lang. Clubber Langston.
Golly, man. Such a fob. I hate myself.
I mean, I'm with Dennis. It's like... it's great. I mean, the Rocky Balboa character is great and he's timeless, but... even with the second fight of the movie, it's like, yeah, he's not training you anymore. Can we see where we go without Rocky being your trainer? And have you learned enough from Rocky? And it's like, I get that that final fight, it's a good transition, or they have the Duke's son.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, him come in.
The guy from Remember the Titans.
Yeah, Wood Harris.
That's who he'll forever be for me.
Strong side, left side. But he comes in, and it's like, yeah, I mean, he's so brief in Creed. I was going to say Rocky. But Creed 1, it's like, yeah, he established the character, and now we have him as a full-on main character. And it's like, yes, this is the new relationship that needs to develop.
Right, yeah.
You are the Apollo. Like, Duke will be the new Apollo to Adonis.
But then... he doesn't really do anything at the end.
No, he's just like, hey, I'm in the corner. I took you to the desert.
No, I like that. It was like when Rocky asked him, yeah, did you try it? Well, I tried. I'm rude.
Well, did you? No.
Did he listen? Nope. He died. He almost died.
I'm sorry. I know you're talking about it, but we need to talk about montage.
Of course.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
Now, before you talk about the montage... I don't get it. Why the hell did they go to the desert?
Because
because look, I don't know. Look. When Rocky went to Russia, he knew that he needed to go back to basics. So he was out in Siberia because it was going to be cold.
Yes.
You know, why the hell were they in a desert?
Because they somebody explain Vegas. To me. I have no idea. But it looked cool. Visual. Well, I think this is what they had to do is in Rocky 3, they were at a beach. In Rocky 4, they were in the mountains, in the snow. So, you know, Creed 2 was, you know, opposite all
of that. Yeah. Actually, speaking of montage, I couldn't help but laugh when Apollo pulled up to the gym in L.A. and all I could hear was Harold's jokes about Polly going to that gym going, "Hey, Rocky, these aren't our people." like, oh no, not this gym again. So that's just Rocky's going to have like a trigger. He's like, oh no. Oh no. Oh no. Polly told me not to go here.
Okay, but it's a montage. Again, before the montage, one more thing that I'm confused with. Okay. How the hell, montage aside, how the hell did he actually beat Drago? All
right. So this is
sports science.
Me thinking real quick. Okay. In Creed 1, Adonis was a light heavyweight, which means he was like about 205.
Okay.
Around 210 and whatever. Here he comes in as a heavyweight champion. He beats Andre Ward, who is the light heavyweight champion or whatever, Danny Wheeler. And then he fights a guy who's basically a super heavyweight. Because if we're going size, that dude's 6'6", 265, 285. He's basically The Rock.
Yeah, but that's Brock Lesnar in there, dude.
And it's like, you know, the 40, 50-pound weight differential might make a difference with one punch. So, good for you that you're able to withstand
all that. And every single punch is coming from above.
Yeah, it's an overhead. Yeah, that's... Oof.
So I was hoping he was going to do like a bear rush like Zangief.
Something. So, I mean, yeah, I get it. So, you take away distance by fighting close and everything.
But,
You know, in the montage, he had that really weird neck exercise, so maybe that made his face stronger.
I don't know what they do those for. And do they? I don't know
Please tell me.
It's so you can absorb the impact of a punch.
Okay, so that's really what it's for.
You're supposed to go into it. So you only have those neck twitches or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, or, you know.
Because I was watching that. I was watching that part of the montage, and I'm like, oh, Bianca's gonna like that.
Yeah. Or Bianca should be learning this exercise real quick. She want to keep this marriage strong.
There's an actual.
She can't hear though.
So one problem. I know you're itching to get to
No.
One problem with the montage is this. In the original one where we're talking about the Rocky versus Drago, it was always the one thing about it was there was that comparison. It was like they're doing the same thing, they're doing the same thing over and over again, but the reason why he's able to win is that Drago at a certain point, at a certain incline, he stops and he can't do it. Mm-hmm. And we see if Rocky is able to
push through.
Look how excited Dennis got, dude.
But then if you remember the montage that Drago does, you know, like, and he's running behind the car, and, you know, Ivan Drago's like, you know, if I tell you to go faster, you need to go faster.
Yeah.
But then you don't really see, like, I was hoping for a part where Rocky's, like, gunning the car,
Mustang, yeah.
And he's, like, just, like, booking it as quick as possible. It's like, okay, that's why you're going to win.
Yeah.
But I'm like...
Well, there was that one scene where he was like running really fast, I guess.
And
but
then
he
fell down.
It fell down, and
then Dennis is waiting for him to run him over and be like, speed is what we need.
Pick it up, Rock. I mean, Adonis.
Okay, sorry, go ahead. Talk about the montage. I'm done.
All right, so how high or where do we rank this montage in the Hall of Fame of Rocky montages? I mean, compared to Rocky IV, it's already behind. Because, Rocky IV, just by the fact, I like your observation. I think that was the best part of that Rocky montage. It was the fact that it was a comparison of, you know, high-tech cheating Russian ways and, you know, gritty, down-to-earth, in-the-snow American ways. And, so where would you rank this montage? I think for sheer beefcake... This is like pretty up there.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah,
definitely.
So I think I'm gonna
just
you know,
for sheer beefcakeiness.
Beefcakeiness. Is that a word? Sure. We'll
that's for Western stars.
Are we Are we ranking out of the series?
I think so. Let's rank it out of the five, including the five Rockies.
I mean, I guess it's better than Rocky Five.
Yeah, so the sorry. Yeah, Rocky Five is the bottom. Let's just start with that. That's
was
number seven.
Was there a montage of that
number
movie?
Seven.
It's been a long time since I actually forced myself to watch, so maybe that's
training
why.
Training montage?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rocky never trained
in
Rocky
it's
Tom Five.
Again.
Yeah, it's Tommy Gunn being taught. So that would be pretty low. So I personally would put this right in the middle. I still think the beach montage was up there, and not to mention, yeah, and the Rocky IV montage would be tops. And then the first Creed would actually be pretty, like, middle, like, three or four or five for me, and then this would be, again, either the fifth or the sixth ranked one. So, yeah.
Rocky II and Rocky I were pretty good.
Yeah, you're right, because they are, like, they're iconic. They said, like, they kind of make fun of it in this movie how tourists nowadays are running up and down the stairs doing the Rocky
pose.
They
even do it in Creed 2.
Yes. They make fun of it. Or not make fun of it, but they make a meta comment on it. It's like, oh, even tourists do it.
Yeah, I thought when Victor Drago was going to do the run, he'd, like, run up and punch the, punch the statue. And, like, you screwed over my dad.
Stupid American. So, wow.
That was your best accent, dude.
Yeah, that was pretty good. I'm getting there, dude.
When you're cursing the Americans, that's what you're
yes.
Okay.
Russian, I'll break you in Russian. Pretty good review. So I think, what do we give this? We still haven't established a movie ranking or a movie rating for our podcast.
I give it a... Sorry, no. I would give it. Well, let's
sounds
do,
like Mickey got the reach around.
Sounds like someone got you in your thunder lips.
Okay, so what are we using today for reviews?
Sorry,
Louis is dying.
I'm dying.
People
can't rank
that.
Oh, sorry. Okay. I'm back. I don't know. What do we rank this as?
Let's just go numbers. Out of five.
All right. You know, this will be a solid Rocky 3 for me because
that's a good.
not one of the best.
Then I'd be confused. Gonna be like. A five is worse than a four.
No, but
Rocky I.
Are we comparing the great?
Well, that's a good idea. Let's compare it to. Let's use the original Rocky series.
Okay.
And compare it that way.
Okay, so yeah, Rocky 3 for me. That's where I'm gonna put mine.
I'm going with Rocky 1. It has promise. It has everything. You know, it's not bad. One is considered a classic to a lot of people, but you know me, that's not one of my favorite ones.
I'd solidly Rocky 2, because it's very similar to Rocky 2. Right
now,
in the middle for me.
I know, to kind of end this whole thing, I kind of want to say something, is that, you know, you're talking about how there should be a Creed continuation, but I kind of want to see an Ivan Drago.
Yeah, I was really like the ending for them, where it was like, yeah, you lost, but let's keep on training.
Yeah,
I
want to see Ivan actually, you know, get his son up there. I think that would be such a great movie, you know. And there's gonna be a lot more accents than Lewis can actually do. So.
Yes. So. Good review, guys. So I think we kind of enjoyed it. So mildly recommended, I guess. A good holiday.
No, yeah, I recommend it. I liked it.
Definitely something. I mean, I'd watch it in the movies. You know, don't wait until it goes to a DVD or Blu-ray. You know,
VHS. Yep. All right. So let's do our usual spiel, guys. Let's shill ourselves like the. Soulless whores we are. Oh, I'm sorry.
Because we make so much money.
We are making
tons,
exactly. We're making Apollo Creed money here, guys.
Ooh.
Nice thing.
Tommy Gunn.
Oh,
<he's> dead.
Oh, I see what you did. Okay.
Okay, really quick thing is, when people were saying there's like a special cameo, I really thought they were going to put like Apollo Creed on. Like,
like
just like for good, like...
Like Yoda,
like,
ghost that
he was in. Like he wasn't like Happy Gilmore where he was at the end.
Like a forced ghost of
the end. Tell him this. I was waiting for it to like Mufasa, and I was like, please, put Carl Weathers up
there. Ding, ding. I was like,
this would be the greatest movie ever. But they ruined it, man. I mean, yeah, it can't be as good.
Well, that's it for us. You know, as usual, let's talk about, as Lewis just kind of pointed out, you know, I'm here to shill the website, twofanboysonecasual.com.
On Facebook, we are Two Fanboys and A Filthy Casual. Every time the podcast goes live, you will find it there. Any news, fun items, or anything else that seems share-worthy, you'll find us there, too.
And on Twitter and Instagram, you can find us at twofanboysonecasual. All
right, well, I think that does it for us today. Good talk, guys. Looking forward to more movie reviews, because I think that lull between the summer movies and the upcoming fun, like, there's actually a couple of good Christmas movies coming up, so looking forward to seeing those in a few weeks, so that should be good. Okay. Well, that's all I got. This is Lewis. Damn it, this is weird.
This is Harold. I don't think we did an intro.
Did we?
Well, that was... Because I screwed it up, so you know. So right. Double this up as the intro and outro.